We are blessed to be in the midst of a sermon series called From Here to Everywhere. Gene read for you the words from Jesus in Matthew 5 from the Message version. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. Another version of that is, blessed are those whose hearts are broken by the things that break the heart of God. And my prayer is, let my heart be broken by the things that break God's heart. The good news of the gospel is, and the good news of Holy Scripture is, God sees our pain from here to everywhere. The God that we worship sees our pain from here to everywhere. Throughout the Old Testament, we see God moving because of the pain of his people. One of the first signs of that is in Exodus chapter 3, and I want to read a part of that to you today. It's where Mount Horeb gets its name. We have a new member class today at 3 o'clock, and we'll have a lot of people in the room. And one of the questions I get asked is, what does Mount Horeb mean? We find it here in Exodus chapter 3. Moses was shepherding the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the west end of the wilderness and came to the mountain of God, Horeb. Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. It's important for us to know what happened on that mountain. The angel of God appeared to him in flames of fire, blazing out of the middle of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing away, but it didn't burn up. I'm excited to tell you, as your pastor, that the bush is still burning, and God is still speaking. And there's a message that God wants you to hear this morning that is so similar to the message that God spoke to Moses. In verse 7, God said, I've taken a good long look at the afflictions of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries for deliverance from their slave masters. I know all about their pain. Say that with me. I know all about their pain. We have a God who sees our pain from here to everywhere. And I know, and now I have come down to help them, pry them loose from the grip of Egypt, get them out of that country and bring them to a good land with wide open spaces, a land lush with milk and honey. The legacy of Mount Horeb is a place of deliverance. It's a word of go and help my people who are in captivity, who are in bondage, who are in slavery. And that message has not changed. We are called to go from here to everywhere to spread the good news that God loves people and that God sees their pain and God can minister to them in their pain. From the book of Exodus, that great New Testament verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that God saw the pain of the world. He saw the emptiness of the world. He saw the hopelessness of the world. And he sent his only son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. See, Jesus takes the ministry of Moses to a whole new level. I love what John writes in John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. We see the love of God expressed for the world through Jesus, God's Son. Jesus is moved by compassion. Gene read to you from Matthew 9. I want to read it to you again because this is where we want to drill down a little bit today and be called by God to be moved by compassion. Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies, healed their bruised and hurt lives. And when he looked out over the crowd, his heart broke. The NIV version says he was moved with compassion. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest, he said to his disciples. How few workers, on your knees and pray for harvest hands. There is a huge harvest here, right here, and everywhere. And pray for workers to go and work the harvest. When he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. Now, one of the other places we see a very similar expression of this is back in the Old Testament. In Exodus 34, we read these words, God's message came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherd leaders of Israel. Yes, prophesy, tell these shepherds, God the Master says, doom to you shepherds of Israel, feeding your own mouths. Hear that word, feeding your own mouths. Aren't shepherds supposed to feed sheep? You drink the milk, you make clothes from wool, you roast the lambs, but you don't feed the sheep. You don't build up the weak ones. You don't heal the sick. You don't doctor the injured. You don't go after strays and don't look for the lost. You bully and badger them, and now they're scattered. Scattered every which way because there was no shepherd. Scattered in easy pickings for wolves and coyotes. Scattered, my sheep. Exposed and vulnerable across mountains and hills. My sheep scattered all over the world and no one out looking for them. Here and everywhere. Now Exodus, or Ezekiel here and Exodus and here in Matthew, we're hearing about people who are weary, people who are enslaved, people who are harassed, people who are scattered, and no one cared for them, no one led them, no one fed them. But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son for the scattered, for the harassed, for the enslaved, and for the weary. Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, talks about one of the greatest dangers that sheep face, that they can become cast, or he calls it cast down. It's an old English term for sheep, a sheep that is turned over on its back and it can't get back up again. It's stuck there on its back. You can see the sheep laying there, right? All four legs up in the air, can't get up. And if the shepherd doesn't find the sheep and restore the sheep, it'll die within hours. That's what Jesus is describing. Sheep are people who are cast down, who are scattered, who are helpless. And not only does he see our pain, but he comes to do something about our pain. I love what Isaiah 53:4 says. Yet it was our weaknesses when we were cast down. He carried it. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. Then 1 Peter goes a little further with this, that he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you're healed. By his wounds, you're healed. There's a lot of wounded people, even here this weekend. There are wounded people all over Lexington. There are wounded people in the Midlands. There are wounded people in South Carolina. There are wounded people all across this country, and there are wounded people all over the world. By his wounds, you are healed. Our sins and the sins of the world are often the source of our greatest pain, and we need the gift of compassion. I love the English definition of compassion. Sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. See, it's not just feeling sorry for people who are in pain. It comes with a desire to alleviate people's suffering. We have a lot of people who feel sorry for people who are hurting. But do we have compassion? Jesus was moved to compassion. Jesus' heart was broken. And let our hearts be broken by the things that break the heart of Jesus. Now, the original word for compassion is not found in the Greek in the New Testament. The gospel writers had to create a new word that represented how deeply Jesus felt. Compassion. It means the deepest of emotions. It means and represents the mercy of God. And it's always revealed in action. And it means to enter into the feelings of others, to know how they feel, to experience what they're experiencing. And Jesus showed us and demonstrated how to have compassion. And when he demonstrated how to have compassion, he then gave us a great commission to go and reach these people. That the church is to be in ministry to the people that are hurting with the gift of compassion. So I want to challenge all of us, this next point, let your pain inspire your purpose. Let your pain, because I just know that most everybody in this room has experienced some pain in your life. A couple weeks ago, I was out in Wyoming and had a good friend there who asked me, had I watched the movie I Can Only Imagine, the story of Bart Miller, Mercy Me. And for whatever reason, I'd put that movie off, had not seen it. So I was flying from Denver to Washington, and I was looking at the playlist, and I Can Only Imagine was on the playlist. And I know it wasn't on the playlist flying out, but here it was on the playlist flying back. And you got to picture this now. I've spent 4 days in the wilderness, 3 days on horseback, rode 52 miles on a horse. So I'm feeling a little bit of pain. But also I've got a cowboy hat on because now I can wear a cowboy hat because I've got my spurs, I got my cowboy hat on, I've got my jeans on. The guy sitting next to me on the plane's got a cowboy hat on. He's been in Colorado on a hunting trip, and he's all cowboyed up. And Linda's here this morning. She would tell you that I'm not proud of this, but I have a hard time crying. You know, I mean, I go to a funeral, I preach a funeral, I look at Pastor Faye, she's over there weeping, you know, and I feel it in my heart, but I don't tear up very easy. I don't know about, you know, tear ducts are dried up or whatever, but I just don't cry very easy. So here I am all decked out, I'm feeling cowboyish, you know, and all that. And I start playing the movie, I Can Only Imagine. I mean, it just, you know, the first 5 minutes, I'm already going, you know, and I'm going, what's going on? You know, I'm a cowboy and I don't cry, you know? So I start getting emotional and I begin to watch this movie. The story of Bart Miller, who grew up in a home where his father abused him. His father abused his mother. And in his early years, his mother had all she could take, and she abandoned the home, left Bart there with his mother. Some of you know my story. My mom left when I was 5 and never saw her again. And so as I was watching the movie, I was experiencing some real pain, reminders. And I began to, you know, these tears began to come into my eyes. And I watched how Bart Miller tried to make it as a musician, as a Christian artist. Reminded me of the early days of trying to be a pastor and trying to minister to people and sometimes not being able to connect with people and wondering why. And Bart Miller tried to make it as a Christian artist, and the record producers kept telling him that you're not ready, you're not good enough. Now, I don't know if you've heard any of Mercy Me songs. I can't imagine that ever happening. They're so amazing in their talent. But that's what they heard. And after getting rejected over and over again, Bart Miller's manager said, there's something going on in your life that you've not gotten in touch with. There's some real pain in your life that you haven't dealt with. And Bart had left his dad back in his home in Texas and had never dealt with the anger, had never dealt with the rejection, had never dealt with any of that. He had walked away from his dad. And so he left Mercy Me and went back to have a conversation with his dad. He didn't know that his dad had been diagnosed with cancer. I'm not going to tell you the whole movie, but basically, over a series of events, he dealt with his pain. And his manager had told him these words, and these words inspired me on the plane. His manager said to him, let that pain become your inspiration, and then you will have something people can believe in. Then you will have something that people can believe in. And then Bart Miller wrote the great song, I Can Only Imagine, which is the most popular contemporary Christian song of all time. Been played more than any other song in the world because Bart Miller got in touch with his pain and ministered to his dad in his last days. And there's a whole other part of the movie that you need to watch to experience. But I'm sitting there and God has reminded me that your pain will be something that people can believe in. And sometimes we want to bandage our pain. We want to make it go away. But in reality, God wants to use our pain. God often uses our pain as a launching pad of our greatest calling. He uses our pain to launch us into this great calling to go and change the world. And this morning, as I got up early and, you know, always a little bit, you know, certainly prayerful, but a little bit anxious about the message. God's always on time. So he sent me a devotion based on 2 Corinthians 12:9, where Paul was in pain. He was praying for God to take the pain away. And Jesus comes and speaks to Paul and says, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for all of your needs. And in fact, my power is made perfect in weakness." I interpreted that as my power is revealed in your pain. And God wants to use the pain that's in our life to inspire us to fulfill our purpose. And so what Bart Miller did was he allowed that pain to help him become an incredible songwriter, incredible musician for Christ. And then as he sang on the stages all over the world, he sees the pain in the faces of people. So my last major point I want you to take home with you this morning is let their pain fuel your compassion from here to everywhere. As you look upon people, may the pain of people, just like it moved Jesus. When Jesus looked upon the crowd and saw they were like people without a shepherd, he was moved to take action and to do something. He was moved with compassion for people at the temple, but then he left the temple and went to the towns. And I would say to us at Mount Horeb, it's one thing to be moved with compassion inside this room, but God calls us to take it from inside this room to outside these walls, from here to everywhere. I love what Oswald Chambers says. He says, "The church ceases to be a spiritual society when it is only on the lookout for the development of its own organization." And I can tell you what turned Mount Horeb into the church it is today is when this church, many, many years ago, began to look outside of itself to all the needs in Lexington to provide some of the best children's ministry that can be provided to children that don't have a church, to provide youth ministry to youth that don't have a place to go, to provide ministry for special needs, to provide ministry to children involved in an after-school program. Let their pain fuel your compassion from here to everywhere. Compassion is to be moved to action. Moved to action. I love the story of Robert Pierce. He was a young evangelist with Youth for Christ. He felt called to go to China, but he only had a ticket to Honolulu. And there he met a teacher. And she introduced him to a battered and an abandoned child named White Jade. She was unable to care for the child, and she asked Robert Pierce, this young evangelist, "What are you going to do about her?" It's a great question, isn't it? What are you going to do about her? And Pierce gave the woman his last $5 and agreed to send the same amount each month to help the woman care for the child. Now, he eventually made it to China, had a four-month crusade, and saw thousands of people make a public commitment to Jesus Christ. But he also saw the hunger. He also saw the pain. And he felt intense compassion for the people of China. He had an old movie camera, so he drug it all around Asia until China was closed to Christians. So he took the pictures of these suffering people and brought them back to North America. And he went to churches all over North America, and he asked people to help the children. And in 1950, his vision began a ministry called World Vision, one of the largest Christian relief organizations ever, because his heart was moved by the pain of people. And what's even more amazing about Robert Pierce's story, in 1967, he resigned from World Vision. And in 1970, on a mission trip to suffering children in Korea, he wrote these words in his Bible: "Let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God. Let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God." And then he founded a new relief organization called Samaritan's Purse, which is the sponsor organization for these Christmas Child Operation boxes many of you brought back today. Isn't it amazing that one man started two incredible relief organizations that represent the gospel of Jesus because his heart was moved by their pain? Today, will you let their pain fuel your compassion from here to everywhere? We have many wonderful volunteers in our church who have been moved by their pain, their own pain, and by the pain of others. One of our great ministries is the Bridge 1010 ministry. And I've asked Denise Hudson to join me up here on the platform for just a few moments because she is a volunteer with the Bridge 1010. She also serves in other areas, has a small group of youth that you, young girls that you work with. But you also serve in this great ministry called the Bridge 1010. So I would ask you, Denise, thank you for coming here and thank you for sharing. This is our second time doing this morning. But tell the folks why you got involved in the Bridge 1010 ministry.
Well, first of all, like what you've talked about today, I've let some of the pain that I've experienced in my childhood to fuel my passion for these kids. As a child, I had a lot of fear. I had a lot of anxiety. I suffered academically with reading and math. I've had mentors in my life that's kind of carried me through some of these different seasons in my life. And so when Janice and Vicki asked me about it, when they were just piloting the program, I was called. And so I led what I thought what God was calling me to do. So
in getting in touch with the ministry forced you to look at your pain.
Right.
And then you said, hey, maybe I can help some other people.
Right? Absolutely.
So tell the folks what you actually do when you come here and serve in the Bridge 1010 program.
Well, you know, 100% of it is sharing the gospel, but which I know that the gospel changed me, and so it's unbelievable to see how the gospel is already changing the kids' lives. But it's showing up. It's being that familiar face. It's sharing a meal with them, loving on them, pouring words into them, saying that you're loved and smart and worthy and capable. Doing homework with them. Sometimes, you know, you ask for help because you don't understand fifth grade math. But, and somebody does. Somebody does. Thank you, Jesus. But, you know, it's like, the gospel changed me. The gospel can change them. And it just helps them write a different story.
Yeah. So, yeah, and that's your story, right?
Right.
Because God helped you write a new story, and now God's called you to help others write a new story. So how is that ministry, how is the ministry serving there with the children, how's it changed you?
Well, first and foremost, it's opened up my eyes to a group of society that I never would have known about or been able to come alongside to help. Just right down the street is where some of these kids live. And it's quite different than like some of the neighborhoods that are just really right around our church. Janice does a great job, a phenomenal job, teaching our mentors. I know there's quite a few of you guys in the sanctuary today, but she teaches us how to love them the way they should be loved and valued. She teaches us how to communicate. And so it's really, God's opened up my eyes to something that's much bigger than me.
In our passage today, Jesus tells us to pray for more workers.
Yes.
And we know the only limiting factor to the Bridge 1010 from growing is having more workers.
Right.
Having more mentors. So this is not in our conversation, so you and me always throw you a curveball. But make a plea, if you would, for more mentors, more workers.
We really do. And men, gosh, these kids need good, strong, godly men in their lives. And And it's not even hard to do. I mean, like I said, showing up is the biggest thing. And then just open up your heart to these beautiful kids that desperately need a good role model.
So let me ask some of our volunteers that are here. Would you just stand if you volunteer with the 10-10 Bridge Program?
There's a few in here.
Yeah. Look around the room.
Yay!
Let's give them a hand. And one thing that Denise said is just down the street, right? Just down the street is where these kids live. And so it really is from here, right here, to everywhere.
Right.
And I know at the Francesca Battistelli concert, they made a strong appeal for Compassion International, which is a ministry we support. And I was watching folks take the names of children, and you and Keith took an additional child. I know you already sponsored several children. And so, again, it's not just the children here, but also pouring into the lives of children everywhere.
And funny story, Keith that morning prayed for two more kids. Yeah. And he goes, Denise, you know, and most of the time at the Christian concerts that they have that. So I knew he was going to take one, and then he took two. And I'm like, all right, our family just grew two more. So
give Denise a hand. Thank you, Denise. Thank you. Thank you, Denise, and all those who serve in this incredible ministry. And it's just the tip of the iceberg of what God is going to do. And because people have had their hearts disrupted, some of these mentors, I can tell you the tremendous giving that has come into this Bridge 1010 program is going to allow this church to really affect children way beyond elementary school. My dream is that we can get some of them into college and help them navigate what's next in life and launch them into a whole new future. I could speak all day about ministries that have begun because people felt the pain of other people. In 1998, Molly and George Green were operating an environmental engineering company in Charleston, South Carolina. Hurricane Mitch had gone through Honduras, had pretty much destroyed the water system there, and they got a request to go help restore the water treatment facilities in Honduras. When they arrived there in the town, the river that flowed through the nearby village was the color of chocolate milk because of the toxins and the bacteria and the hopelessness. It was called the River of Death because no one survived if they drank out of the river. And so the Greens built a new treatment facility that began to cleanse the water. But the villagers were still terrified to drink any water from the river. So Molly and George were the first one to put their lips on the garden hose and drank the newly purified water. And once they did, the villagers jumped in and began to drink the water from the river. Since that time, a new ministry they started called Water Mission International provides access to safe water for more than 3 million people in 52 countries. Why? Because they felt the pain of the people of Honduras. Every great ministry has had that kind of inspiration. One of my favorite people in the world today is Christine Kane, who runs the ministry A21. And the goal of that ministry is to abolish human trafficking everywhere forever. Similar to our partnership here with Lighthouse for Life, and also a new ministry in Calcutta, India, to abolish human trafficking. I love her quote. She says, "Difficult we can do, impossible just takes a little longer." You know, impossible just takes a little longer. Will you be inspired by your pain? Will you allow their pain to fuel your compassion? I want to give you some real practical steps, because you're wondering, what can I do? These are going to go fast, so stay with me. The first one is stay soft. Stay soft. Don't become hardened to the reality of billions of people who are suffering in our world. Richard Stearns has a chapter titled 100 Crashing Jetliners. I see Sean over here, who one of our pilots in the church. And he writes in this chapter, if we saw 100 planes crash in one day, we would do something to stop it. We would do something to fix it. But he says in reality, that is the number of people that die daily from preventable diseases. Stay soft to the suffering in our world. Start with people around you. Pray to be present daily with people around you that are suffering. Have a relationship with someone in poverty. Start here. Go everywhere. Pray for more workers. Prashant did a great job preaching last weekend in the auditorium, if you were in there. He reminded me this week there are 1 billion non-Christians that live in India. 1 billion non-Christians that live in India. Actually, there are 5.1 billion non-Christians worldwide. We just completed a study that showed us that there are 132,000 people within a 10-mile radius of Mount Horeb that are unchurched. Start with the people around you. Then see people as Jesus sees them, as people who are created in the image of God. Sign up and join what God is already doing. Nate mentioned this wonderful devotional book. If you haven't got this, I'm like Nate. I sit down to read it, and I read it all the way through. You know, I got it all done in, you know, 35 minutes rather than 30 days. Because it's truly inspiring what God is doing in this place called Mount Horeb. You know, God isn't telling you to solve all the problems of the world. He's inviting you to get involved in what he's doing to solve all the problems of the world. Join God, what he's doing. And then set aside some time to care. Denise talked about giving an hour, giving 2 hours to tutor. An hour to care, an hour to listen. How about an hour to learn about the suffering in the world? Will you take an hour just to learn about the suffering in our world? And then share your pain. Share your pain. Share your pain. As I close this morning, I didn't know this, but there's a valley on Mars called the Valley of Perseverance. Who knew that, right? The Valley of Perseverance. And guess what? We have a rover up there called Opportunity. And Opportunity right now is stuck in the Valley of Perseverance because a dust storm blew through an epic dust storm blew through the valley, and it covered the solar panels of the rover Opportunity, so it can't receive any light, so its batteries are dead. And what's the answer? NASA's only answer is this, is that a fresh wind would blow through the valley and blow the dust off the solar panels so Opportunity will not be stuck in the Valley of Perseverance. Now, is there a better sermon than that right there? Sounds like it's right out of the book of Isaiah. Mount Horeb, you find yourself today in the Valley of Perseverance. Jesus said you will always have the poor with you. But the poor are an opportunity to demonstrate the love of God. Will you allow a fresh wind of God's Holy Spirit to move through your life so you won't be walking in darkness, but you'll be empowered by the light of God? Jesus says, go and be the light to the world in the midst of the darkness.